I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, we have the Flexible Flyers, who are violinists and violist Robin Kierten, Tom Foe, who today is playing banjo but often plays button accordion as well, and guitarist Michael Shapiro. They're sometimes augmented by other players, but they are the core, and they're with us on Live and Local today to spend most of the hour with us live in our studio. Then a conversation with Angela Chase of the Springfield-based Handbell Ensemble, Bells in Motion, who give a concert Sunday in Eureka, Illinois. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that was Ilan Piper, Patty Keenan, who was once here in the studios here at WILL-FM playing on Live and Local. And he has this disc called Nakin Affair, and I'm not even sure I said that right. But the tune was called The Flagstone of Memories, and Anderson's Molly Dawn, if I'm Molly Bawn, here on Live and Local. On the show today, we have later on Angela Chase going to be telling us about a Springfield-based handbell ensemble called Bells in Motion, who are giving a holiday concert in Eureka on Sunday. But first, we're going to spend most of the hour live in our studio with a group that calls itself the Flexible Flyers. And they are Robin Kierten on violin and viola. She's brought both of those instruments today. Tom Foe, who just has his banjo, I believe. Two banjos, mm-hmm. at least, and sometimes plays button accordion, Michael Shapiro on guitar, and sometimes they have some other groups as well, some other performers as well, and one of those rather interesting sounding and looking curiosity. But first, thank you all very much for coming in on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Am I correct in that you're not necessarily here for a specific performance coming up? You're just in to play.
It's a little embarrassing, actually. We don't have a CD. We don't have any upcoming gigs. We're just here to play.
Yeah.
Why should that be embarrassing? I mean, Live and Local, it's a destination.
Okay, well, we're very local.
And you're very live today. Well, before I even ask you any questions, why don't we hear a tune?
It's a tune called Sally in the Garden. It's an old Southern Appalachian tune. Thank you. St. Anne's Reel and Sally in the Garden.
Yeah, I thought you snuck in a second one there. That obviously
you
was
were
not
right.
the
you
same
were right.
tune.
Good.
Yeah,
it wasn't exactly a snuck either.
No, it was a
perfectly
brought. You even changed instruments and
you
everything.
You were paying attention, Kevin.
Yeah, they couldn't tell that in radio land unless they heard the timbral difference.
They couldn't see my foot in the air, for one.
No, you know, we've discussed the foot in the air thing on this program before, and for those who are not up on this thing, when you have a old-time or various traditional kinds of groups, and usually rather small ensemble, and somebody, they're all seated, and somebody sticks their foot in the air, that means, okay, we're going to stop now.
Yeah. Pretty usually much. Your hands are occupied, so you can't just draw your thumb across your throat.
Yeah, not easily.
Yeah.
In any event, this was the Flexible Flyers, the core group who represent the Flexible Flyers, based in Urbana. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, and they are Tom Foe on the five-string banjo,
yeah.
And Robin Kirtan playing in that piece in order, the viola and then the violin, and are you on a steel string guitar there,
yeah,
Michael?
Yeah, steel string.
Michael Shapiro. And so the Flexible Flyers, anybody who knows Robin Kirtan at all knows that she has a penchant for puns. But I'm
like
not sure I get the flexible part because I know you're the core, but then you're sometimes add somebody or take away somebody and so on. So there's the flexibility not only of instrumentation but also of types of music. But what's the flyers part?
It's not just me.
With tempo. What?
Yeah.
Flyer, it's a kind of chicken, right?
Oh, that's a friar.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I thought
no.
that was a priest.
Yeah.
You don't know?
we actually do.
I thought this was a
well,
question
flexible flyer,
you know the answer
okay,
to.
Okay, well, you probably grew up in a place without hills. But
false. I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, then you know about flexible flyers. A flexible flyer is a sled. It's a classic sled.
I know about the American flyer.
No, the flexible flyer. The American flyer is a train.
Is it? Flexible flyer is a sled?
The American flyer is a little choo-choo train that goes around the Christmas tree.
I probably even had one.
Flexible flyer is the red steel runner sled that you,
where you can
hung on to for dear life.
There's a wood thing at the end, and you can turn.
Yeah, that's
and
it. That's it, man.
That's it?
That's a flexible flyer.
Oh, man, I forgot that.
Yeah.
I wonder how many in listener land had those kinds of sleds. And you're positive that
I'm
was
sure
the name of it.
The switchboard is lighting up right now.
We saw one
you saw
in the store the other
flyer.
Day.
So,
say flexible?
What was the name? Rosebud was the name of
that's
the
right.
sled. Was that a flexible
that
flyer?
That was a flexible flyer. Yeah.
In Citizen Kane. I was going to
yeah.
say Casablanca, which was the other best movie of all time, according to many people. Well, in any event, okay, so we've got that out of the way.
Yeah, let's move on.
But one of the flexible parts, though, is also the type of music you play. I'm just going to read what you sent me, Robin, because it raises
what
its own questions. I'm going to tell
gonna
you.
Find out.
Okay.
It says here, while the group is well-grounded in the tradition of old-time fiddle and banjo dance music, mm-hmm. notice you're left out of this, Michael, as guitar, but that's what it says here.
That's okay. The guitar is sort of...
It's an add-on.
Assumed, okay. The Flyers draw material, and this is where it gets interesting, from sources as divergent as post-bebop jazz, Arabic classical music, Irish fiddling, French-Canadian crooked tunes.
That would be crooked.
It would be crooked,
yeah.
Okay. And European minimalism. All right,
wow.
There's your question. Explain all that.
That.
And how many of those do we have
that
samples
sounds
of?
That's great, Kevin.
Well, you just heard some Irish tunes. And we'll be hearing some later on. We have some tunes from the earliest, or one of the earliest published popular music sources that play for Dance Master. And then we've got some clearly Breton tunes. And
we have an Armenian oud number that we're going to do.
That covers Arabic classical.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close, yeah.
Armenian, not quite.
We have a Miles Davis thing that we could trot out, too. He's certainly post-bebop.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of minimalist, the way we do it. It's very... I think we sort of aim to put ourselves into trance as we're doing this. As you can hear, it's sort of repetitive with incremental changes every time we play a different version of the tune. I don't know. I think it's sort of minimalist.
Well, I was entranced.
Yeah. Well, that's
by
good.
Listening in any
yeah.
way.
Yeah. One of the things that we like, I don't know if we think about it very much when we're playing, but we do it, is the dialogue between the voices. And that's actually our not performance, but in January at the what's the name of it? Urbana Country Dancers are sponsoring a weekend-long Jan Jam.
As in January.
Right. It's January 9th and 10th, and the three of us are doing a workshop on finding the dialogue inside the music.
Well, there's just about, I can't think of a type of music that doesn't have a dialogue.
Well, that's a good point.
Even if you're solo.
It's true.
You know. Because,
it's true.
Say, piano. Yeah. But that is one of the marvelous things, actually, for me to sit here in the studio and watch you guys, because I can see some of the dialogue going. You never talk, and you sometimes barely even exchange visual cues, but it's going on anyway.
The music really lends itself to that. The forms, as you're aware, the forms of most of these tunes are AABB. So there's a short A section, and that repeats, and then there's a B section, and that repeats. So that sort of lends itself to dialogue between the two A sections, for example. You want to do the second one slightly differently than you did the first one. And then between the B sections and the A sections, and between each of the B sections. And this is grounded in dance music, so sort of in a traditional context, we might be playing these tunes 20 times as dancers spin around the room. And so just to keep ourselves awake and interested, we would want to play each version slightly differently. And then, of course, there's the fact that we've got three instruments here, and each of them plays the melody slightly differently. So there's a certain amount of dialogue just ongoingly between the instruments.
Most of the time, the guitar's laying down chords, but not always.
Yeah, that's just my style. I tend to be chordal based and not melodic.
You're a background kind of guy.
Yeah.
Are you that way in life?
I couldn't say that but I don't hear the melodies as easily as I hear the chords.
Well, somebody's got to lay down the foundation, so
Michael actually has a very unusual technique and style for this kind of music. Traditionally, in old-time music, in this old-time fiddle and banjo music, the guitar player's role is to do sort of bass chord. And Michael... he could speak to this more than me, but is influenced by Irish guitar players who tune in open tunings, and he does interesting voicings up the neck on the guitar, which is something that we really like.
Can you show us a little bit what he's talking about, one versus the other?
Perhaps. I mean, I think what he's talking about, the bass stuff, is like that kind of thing.
I almost hear Pete Seeger coming in right now.
Yeah. And that would do for some of this stuff. So play that second tune that we did, the major one.
Same dance reel?
Yeah, and then I'll vary it. Yeah.
Shall we be really traditional
about
this?
Yeah, real straight.
That's even more of a dialogue than what the traditional would be, I suppose.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's hear another tune.
All righty.
This is they are the Flexible Flyers here on Live and Local.
Yeah.
Let's do Jazzake, since he mentioned Patty Keenan.
Okay.
We're sitting here. When you played the opening, that wonderful Patty Keenan bagpipe thing at the opening of your show, we're sitting here and Michael said, well, now who is that exactly? And I said, well, I know one person it couldn't possibly be. And that's Patty Keenan.
That it could not possibly be?
Couldn't possibly be, because his style is so different.
And there it was.
He must be a flexible flyer, too.
I'm a big fan of Patty Keenan's. And this is one that we got from him. It's actually a Breton tune. It was composed by a guitar player from Brittany, whose name escapes me at the moment.
One of the things about playing with a banjo, at least five-string clawhammer style banjos, that they have different tunings and different ways of tuning the strings for different keys. So you always have to
wait for the banjo
excuse
to
them while they tweak their tuning.
Well, it is always good to be in tune.
That's why it's good.
It's a good plan.
Somebody likes to joke around. Okay, this is Jazzake. Chiswick.
From Cape Breton?
No, from Brittany.
From Brittany.
From Brittany. That part of France that sticks out into the ocean where they make the bombs. But we got it from the Irish piper Paddy Keenan, who was here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, is that when you got it, when he was here?
I heard that on an early recording that he made, and I've always loved that tune his playing.
Yeah, well, he was a lot of fun to have in here. I remember he was, speaking of tuning, he got increasingly frustrated because he had just driven down here from Chicago that morning, and I don't remember if it was cold out or what, but he just couldn't get those things in tune, and he said that, you know, it takes quite a while to get the pipe set up, and he finally said, okay, I can't do it anymore. Uh-huh. It's too embarrassing.
Well, that's part of his show, too, I think, tweaking the pipes. And,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it was fun to have the demonstration and have him in here. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. The group in the studio with us playing live, as you can probably tell, is called the Flexible Flyers. Robin Kirtan on fiddle, Tom Foe banjo, and Michael Shapiro on guitar. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods, featuring foods from around the world, including imported chocolates, cookies, cheeses, gift baskets, and party catering. Also through the holidays, daily food tastings with an expanded tasting on Saturdays. World Harvest Foods, located at the intersection of 6th and University in Champaign. On Monday's program, we're going to have another group that plays a lot of old-time stuff. And I'm assuming, Tom, that this other Tom is both a friend and professor of yours. Tom Torino?
He is,
because you are in.
And a banjo player, and an accordion player.
And all of the above. Tom Torino and his son Matt will be here. They're going to be playing at the Iron Post, I think it's on the 27th, sometime a little after Christmas. And so they're going to come and play some live things on Monday, along with George Faber. He won't be here live, but I talked with him earlier this week, and we had a great conversation. We'll hear a couple of selections from a CD of his. He's going to be at the Iron Post on Christmas Day. George Faber, harmonica player, guitarist, singer-songwriter, and Champaign-Urbana native.
At the Iron Post on Christmas Day.
At the Iron Post on Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day.
All right. Yeah, that night. I'm just blanking. Oh, Paul Wirth from the Iron Post was here, and he said, I think they schedule that every year because a lot of people like to just sort of get away from their families by that time of the day.
That sounds like Paul.
So
pizza's red and green.
Yeah, I drive out to mine the next day. In any event, Tom will be here. And so, Tom Foe, one of the reasons you know about all this stuff is you're actually a doctoral student in the musicology program at the University of Illinois School of Music, focusing on what in particular? Or did you know all this stuff before you got there?
No, I learned a lot here. I'm writing a PhD dissertation in ethnomusicology, which is sort of half anthropology, cultural anthropology, and half music. And so what I do is study different kinds of music from around the world and what it means to people.
And what are you writing about?
I'm writing about the music of Quebec and French-speaking musicians in New England, sort of second-generation Quebecois musicians who came down during the Industrial Revolution and settled in northern New England.
Did you happen to bring a sample of that along?
Well, actually, the piece that we just played, St. Anne's Reel, is sort of a classic of that genre. Just as in this area, the banjo and the fiddle are kind of an essential combination in old-time dance music. Up in Quebec, it's the fiddle and the accordion. But the music is very similar. And a lot of it is related to Irish music and Scottish music and music of the British Isles that came across on the ships and came across with the making of whiskey, as a matter of fact.
Mm. That sounds like another topic altogether.
Yeah, I think we could go on with that one. This next tune that we're going to play actually is one of these tunes that came over from Ireland. It's a very well-known Irish session tune called The Road to Lisdon Varna, but it went through various transformations when it came to North America, and the version that we know is called Ducks on the Pond.
Or, as your daughters like to say,
or
Turkeys in the Park.
Turkeys in the Park, named after those wild turkeys that used to wander around Urbana back in the old days.
That's such a tragedy that they're gone, too.
Isn't it? I bet somebody gobbled them up.
No, I know what happened, and I think that was mean. We'll leave that alone.
Okay.
Well, no, the turkeys are fine.
Turkeys in the Park.
They just took them away.
In memory of the turkeys.
Turkeys in the Park, or previously?
Ducks on the Pond.
And previously?
The Road to Lisdon Varna.
Started out as a
one
jig.
Before that? Started out as a jig.
No, the one after that was
Elzik's Farewell.
Elzik's Farewell.
Oh,
another old time.
We did another snuck.
You did another snuck.
We'd like to know who Elzik was. This is kind of a long-standing question. There's this wonderful tune.
You're not asking
many
me,
different
I hope.
Versions. No, I'm asking all of
good.
Your audience.
All right, good.
Somebody knows.
It sounds sort of biblical, Elzik, E-L-Z-I-K, but we are not biblical scholars.
I'll tell you what, if anybody happens to know the answer to that, feel free to call my voicemail here at the radio station, which is area 217-244-2619. That's 244-2619. And
tell
just
us who
tell
Elzik
us the
was.
Who's Elzik?
Elzik?
And why was he farewelling?
There you go.
That sounds like a billboard.
Elzik's
you can start
Farewell.
A billboard campaign for your next gig. Who is Elzik?
Yeah.
Well, I'm very intrigued. This is Live and Local, by the way. I'm Kevin Kelly, and in the studio with us are the Flexible Flyers, Robin Kierten, violin, Tom Foe, banjo, and Michael Shapiro, guitar. And I'm very curious about these other two influences I think we haven't covered of the list, which includes the Arabic and the bebop, or post-bebop.
We shouldn't do those two back to back.
What shall we do? Let's do Anatolian Memories.
Okay.
Yeah. This is one that we got from an old friend of mine, the late Al Bardasbanian, who was an oud player, an Armenian-American oud player, who lived for much of his life up in central Maine. A tremendous, tremendous musician, an oud virtuoso, and also a soprano saxophone player and clarinet player.
An oud is a sort of a lute.
An oud is sort of the grandmother of the lute. Yeah, it's a big, round-backed string instrument with a short neck and no frets, unlike the lute. So Al was a tremendous musician, and shortly before he died several years ago, he put out a CD. What was the name of that, Michael? Remind me.
The CD itself.
Yeah, from Kef to classical.
Yeah, and they've renamed it as like Oud Masterpieces Armenian.
A range of Arabic and Turkish and Armenian music, from dance music to Arabic classical music. And anyway, this is one that we got from him.
Yeah, I love that one. Love that. Flexible Flyers here on Live and Local. If somebody wanted to hire you out for something, who would they contact? Where would they go for info?
Probably they would call us up or email us.
Yeah.
Yeah. probably the easiest email to remember is my name, Robin with an I, like the boy wonder, at c4a.org, the letter C with a hyphen, and the number 4, the letter a.org.
Robin at c-4a.org.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is Center for Community Center for the Arts. We're, I know two of you teach there. Do you teach there also, Michael?
No, I not formally. I participate in some of the projects and things. But.
Yeah. He often goes and plays with Brenda Koenig, who's our fiddle teacher at our adult fiddle class at C4A. And that I was just thinking of other live and local events. This one has not even had its press release yet. On Saturday, February 13th.
So you're making the press release.
I'm making the press release.
You're releasing this to the press right now.
You're scooping everyone, Kevin.
All right.
Yeah, C4A is going to have an open house, and it's going to be sort of a, we're calling it the Midwestern Mardi Gras.
Okay.
And it's at the, at our place is at the old post office building, the old Urbana Post Office, currently owned by the IMC. It's just north of Lincoln Square Mall.
IMC Independent Media Center.
Right. It's 202 South Broadway. But everybody knows it as the old Urbana Post Office.
And the date will be?
The date is Saturday, February 13th. And in the afternoon, it will be free open house, live music, craft workshops, fun lectures, historic discussions, demonstrations, learn how to play an instrument real fast. And then this other thing that Brenda cooked up, which is called the Mystery Bayou Room, which is kind of like our version of a haunted house, I guess. We'll have a parade and costume making and contests and all that kind of stuff. That'll be free to the public. And then that evening, we're having, as a fundraiser, a masquerade ball.
Ooh, fun. A fun fundraiser.
Yeah.
Okay. And I imagine the flexible flyers will probably play.
We'll probably be around there.
Yeah,
we'll be around there. As will, we hope, our faculty has, our music faculty has quite a wide range of skills. We're hoping to have another appearance by the Duke of Uke and his novelty orchestra, because their violinist Claire Cannon is on our faculty.
That'll be fun.
And they've just made a CD that sounds great. And we have...
Well, be sure to. I'm just gonna. You're gonna have time for about one more tune here. So I would send this when you send the official press release. We'll probably have you back in to give all the details on that.
All right.
So it's coming up on February 13th.
Yeah. Toilet.
Yeah. Since there's time for one more short one, this is a French Canadian crooked tune. There's a genre of old time fiddle tunes up in Quebec known as air tordu, the crooked tunes, and. We're not sure what the historical lineage of this is, but it's called Tourloute Acadienne. Tourloute is sort of mouth music, like you often hear it with Irish musicians doing ya-yi-ba-doo-ba-doo-da-da-da-ba-doo-ba-doo-doo. In French Canada, that's called tourloute, which is named after the cooing of the dove.
No kidding.
It also has several more obscene connotations that we don't need to go into here, but this is
probably best
Tourloute Acadienne, and it's a cool crooked tune. Thank you.
That actually reminds me a little bit of believe it or not, a movement of a symphony by Haydn, which Robin might remember from playing with the Prairie Ensemble some years ago. That it was nicknamed, he named it in Latin, In Tempora Mutantur, which meant the times are changed. And the slow movement would sort of start and stop and then pick up the tune and continue and start. And this has that sort of quality to it. It was, I liked it. I enjoyed having you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Did as well.
Thank you.
The Flexible Flyers, Robin Kirtan, violin and viola, mostly violin, just viola for one tune, I think, there. Tom Foe, five-string banjo. Michael Shapiro, steel-string guitar. And if you want more information, robin@c-4a.org. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And coming up next, a conversation with Angela Chase of the Springfield-based handbell ensemble called Bells in Motion. That was the handbell group based in Springfield called Bells in Motion, playing, as you probably figured out, Let It Snow, and we got to turn that down. Sorry about that. Forgot to turn that off. And they're going to be playing in Eureka, Illinois, this coming Sunday evening at the Eureka Christian Church on South Main Street. They start at 6 o'clock, the program called Ringing in the Season. And just the other day, I had a conversation with one of their members and kind of their publicist, Angela Chase, who's somebody I'd known years ago, and was pleased to have her suddenly contact me and let me know about this group about whom I had not known previously. And here is our conversation on Live and Local. So I guess, Angie, when you introduced this thing to me, this was totally new to me, but I gather Bells in Motion is by no means a new handbell ensemble.
That's correct. It's been in existence for about 12 years now. This is the 12th season, and started by director Mike Lamb out of Springfield 12 years ago, and they are internationally known. They've gone on international tours, and but also perform four or five concerts locally every year.
And Mike Lamb is still the director.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
He was doing handbells at, in church before he started this group, right?
Yes, that is correct. He is the, I think he is still the handbell choir director at the Congregational Church in Springfield. And I'm pretty sure he still is the director there, but that is definitely where he had started as well. But he has been playing handbells since he was a young boy as well.
And how long have you been playing handbells?
Oh, great question. I have been playing handbells since I was in seventh grade.
No kidding.
So a very, very, very long time, over 25 years. So it's been one of my passions in my life.
And what do you like about it?
I like that it is complicated and challenging, at the same time very musically satisfying.
Is it typical that handbell players are musicians in other areas or
yes,
not?
Yes, it very much is. Many handbell players on the professional level are definitely skilled and talented in other areas, such as piano and strings and also percussion as well. However, a lot of people start out playing handbells without any musical experiences in the church choirs that that are part of the churches they belong to.
And you said professionally. Is this considered a professional handbell group?
It is a semi-professional handbell group. Yes, yes, we do. We do get paid for it, which is very nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I should probably not even say this, but I'll just say that there is a minister who I know who will not have anything to do with handbells and wants them not in his church at all.
Very.
And, of course, there's other people who love handbells.
Yes.
Any idea that one might be sort of potentially polarizing about handbell groups?
That's a really good question. I think, first of all, a lot of people don't understand it. They look at it and they think that looks so complicated, and so it's really intimidating to a lot of people. At the same time, sometimes for some people the sound and the acoustics of a group or even a solo player is not appealing to their ears. So those two things, I think, are the reasons why some people are not that interested. But, of course, the opposite, the beauty of it, the visual aspect, and the sound of it are what appeal to the majority of people who do see handbells and listen to them.
So, Shinzi, you said you think some people just don't understand it. Tell us a little bit about how handbell choirs work.
Sure, absolutely. A handbell choir is usually made up of between 8 to about 15 players. Each player is responsible for 2 letter names of bells in music. For example, if you were in what's called position 3, you would be responsible for an E and an F, and then all of the accidentals that go with that. And then when you read the music, you only play the notes E and F at the specific time.
Or E flat or F
or
sharp.
Or E flat or F sharp, that's correct, yep.
Or G flat, if
yes.
You want to get technical.
Exactly.
So then, in order to create a tune,
yes,
everybody's got to do their thing at the right time.
Exactly. Everybody has to do their thing at exactly the right time. I always tell people who want to start, like in a church choir, well, you don't really need to know how to read music, but you do need to know how to count to 4 or 3, and teaching them like what the specific note values are is very, very, very easy, but they do have to have a sense of rhythm and be able to know how to count a little bit.
And there's also an art to or a trick to ringing the bells.
Yes,
just
absolutely.
Physically.
Absolutely. There's definitely certain techniques that help you get the most sound out of the bell, and definitely bad technique that make the bell sound awful.
Yeah, no, I've tried ringing them sometimes,
yes.
and you would think, I don't even know if you can describe this, you would yes. think it would sort of flick your wrist and it would ring right,
yes.
but it doesn't.
No,
no. You have to sort of lunge out your arm,
yes.
almost.
Yeah, not all. I mean, it does take a little bit of practice, it really does. It's like the game Othello. It's easy to learn, but it's very difficult to master.
I don't even know what that game is. I'm sorry to say.
It's okay.
This particular group, oh, I know what else I was going to ask you about the bells themselves. I think that most handbell choirs I've seen always wear gloves to play the instruments.
Yes.
Why is that?
The bells themselves, the part that rings, is made out of brass, very polished brass. So if you touch the brass with your bare hands, the oils from your hands can tarnish the brass. So that's why we always wear gloves when we play and whenever we handle the bells, in order to keep the brass nice and shiny. when we're done playing the bells, like at the end of a rehearsal or a concert, we use these special polishing cloths that help keep the bells beautiful for a little bit longer.
And usually a whole set of bells will go into a rather large case.
Yes, that is correct. Cases. Usually it takes about three cases for a three-octave set of bells. Our choir rings with a seven-octave, I believe, and that requires many, many, many cases.
How many people in the choir?
The choir numbers about between 16 to 17 members, depending on the year, and it takes 14 members to ring all the bells in a particular piece, but we do have some substitutes. We rotate in and out, so not everybody plays on every piece, and that gives us more flexibility in case there's absences in the group for rehearsals and things like that.
So for those just tuning in, we're talking with Angela Chase with Bells in Motion, a handbell ensemble. Angie, why did I hear from you about this? What's your role with them?
Well, we are in the midst of some of our Christmas concerts. We, a couple weeks ago, had one in Springfield and then also one in Peoria. And we do have one more this coming Sunday, December 20th, in Eureka, at the Eureka Christian Church. The concert, I believe, starts at 6 o'clock. And we also have a couple of CDs that are available to purchase at our concerts. But also, I wanted to share with you our CDs, so maybe you could play some of the music on the air to expose people to the art of handbells a little bit more.
Sure, and we've heard one sample before we began talking, and we'll hear another one just after.
Wonderful.
So are you kind of the publicity person? Or?
I am on the publicity committee, and when we had this idea of sending the CDs to some radio stations, I was thrilled to see that you were one of the contacts that we could contact at WILO, so it was wonderful.
Yeah, and for those, there's no reason for listeners to know that Angie and I actually knew each other, we figured at least 10 years ago.
Yes, that's correct.
And so it was great to see your name.
Yeah.
I assume that on this holiday concert on Sunday, you're doing a lot of Christmas music. But I note that you do a whole lot more than what you might think is typical for handbell choirs.
We do. When Mike formed the group 12 years ago, we kind of paved a new angle for handbell choirs. Most people think of handbell choirs as being sacred parts of churches, church music. We have, in the handbell world, the overall handbell world, are known as a great jazz handbell group. Jazz and pops. Our signature tune is In the Mood.
Hmm.
And we also usually add a drum set to some of our lighter selections. So if you come to our concerts, especially at Christmas, you will hear some sacred tunes, but also things like Let It Snow and Chestnuts Roasting in an Open Fire and Jingle Bells, all those kinds of fun, upbeat things accompanied by drum sets provide just a unique listening experience. It's really cool.
And you use a bass sometimes?
I'm sorry?
You use a bass?
A bass sometimes? We do as well, yes. Yeah, the drums and the bass provide a little jazz combo feel to it.